We're very pleased to welcome in our next guest, a all-star guard who's having that kind of season again, maybe even better, in his fourth full season with the Toronto Raptors. Kyle Lowry joins us on Brady and Walker. We were just talking about what a good win that was for your team. Do the wins as a player kind of blend together, Kyle, or you know when you step up and beat a really good team and it's your night?
No, you know, at the rate of the season or the way it goes, you know, it's just definitely it kind of blends in. But you, like you said, you do know when you beat San Antonio or you beat a team of that type of caliber, Cleveland team, you know, this is a springboard. It gives you confidence.
You were in the league with Houston and playing that team in your state, and you'd see them four times a year. Could you put a finger on what they do? Like, we all just say, well, it's Pop, it's Duncan, it's Parker, it's Ginobili. But when you got to see them really close up in the Western Conference, what did you think? How did they do it? Why does everybody want to go there and play and even take less money to do it?
Consistency. You always know that you got an opportunity to win a championship. So when you know you got the consistency and the opportunity to win a championship, I think that's what's so attractive to that team and that organization.
Kyle Lowry, our guest on Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360. After both Golden State games, you know, we sat on the air here and we debated, you know, what is a moral victory? Can you have a moral victory when you're a good to very good team like you guys are? I wonder what you take out of it. You pushed a 23-0 team right to the brink twice, more so than any other team in this league has done. Do you come out of that with a sense of frustration, accomplishment, failure? How do you look at it?
You didn't win, so at the end of the day, it's not a good thing. You know, you learn from it. You're not frustrated by it. You don't take, you know, oh man, we almost did, no, almost don't count. You just learn from it. You go step by step and you take out saying, what did we learn from this game? How can we get better from this game and go from there?
It's such tunnel vision, Kyle, when you're playing a player like Steph Curry, who's a reigning MVP. He might win it again this year. He is doing things. He's kind of breaking the mold as to, there's so many good guards in the league, excellent guards, you being one of them. When you're playing him, is it tunnel vision, or are you ever saying to yourself in the midst of it, I am playing maybe what a guy will be considered an all-time great, and I'm matching him shot for shot and assist for assist, and it's one of those moments where you'll think about it maybe more 15, 20 years from now, but you're in the zone at the given time against an all-time great.
Well, for me, it's about, you know, competitiveness. You know, it's about competing. It's about trying to, you know, make sure your team tries to win the game. And yeah, you know, I'll look at it a long time from now and say, okay, you know, yeah, I did this and that. But at the end of the day, right now, it's just about competing and making sure you compete at a high level and try to, you know, just help your team win.
Kyle Lowry joins us. It's easy to look ahead, I think, for fans and media, and a little more difficult for a player, I suppose. You got a lot of tough opponents back to back to back. Would you say in the early going, here we are, 23 games into the season, is this a team positioned better to win a playoff round than a year ago?
It's too early to do that. You know, I think we have the keys and we have the right people to definitely do that. And that's the goal. That's why, you know, I'm excited what he did this summer. So at the end of the day, you know, we got to get there and then worry about once we get there.
You're a veteran enough to notice when younger players are doing good things. Tell me about your perspective on the two games Lucas Nogueira had obviously on Saturday and the game before as well. It's too bad he's hurt right now, because it really felt like big-time progress to being a consistent NBAer.
I mean, I just see the learning is there. He's been very consistent in his work and trying to help us. And, you know, once he got the opportunity to get on the floor, he showed what he could do. So it's always a good thing to see your young people get developed and grow.
Kyle Lowry, our guest, Brady and Walker. Tell our listeners how much you think about winning an NBA championship, how much you've watched the history of the game, watching NBA finals as a kid. How much does it drive you, Kyle?
It's all it's about. Nothing else matters, you know. Yeah, we get paid good money, and we make great money, and we all excited about that. But at the end of the day, as a competitor and as an athlete, you want the ultimate goal of saying you have a ring.
So if someone said to you, you're an excellent player, DeMar's an excellent player, when you look around, it feels like three might be that number, and it's no dissing of your teammates. You're on a really good team that might win 50 games again and make noise in the playoffs. But when you look around and say, other teams are kind of building up to championships and acquiring pieces, do you ever look and say in a moment of reflection, we might just be one other excellent player away from being that team, just one?
work with what we got. You know, all we can do is be the best team we can be with the players we have. So, you know, I don't think about anything else but trying to get my teammates better and myself better.
You're leading the league in steals right now. Tell us whether there's an art to the steal or not. Even when we're playing pickup and it's a bunch of fat guys running around a gym, a steal is kind of a cool thing. Are you doing anything differently to accumulate steals?
Our defense is set up for me to be able to roam a little bit and anticipate the plays. And we got Bismack being able to protect the rim, so I can be a little bit more aggressive. So our defense is really set up for us to, you know, for me to be able to roam and get out and play the game and go out there and be like a free bird sometimes.
We've talked a lot about your, I guess, off-season body transformation. That was a big story, as you know. I wonder when, like, how do you feel and when will you know? At what point in the season will you really kind of cross that threshold to see the major difference between the wear and tear of a season ago and this year?
Probably March. You know, I'll really get to kind of tell. Right now, you know, it's so early that, you know, I'm doing the same things I was doing last year around this time. So I think March will be the time where I can feel it, where I'll be able to see what good it's done.
Last thing, you're a proud father. We're a couple weeks away from Christmas. You're a very active, involved father. A lot of teams have to play on Christmas Day. I didn't grow up as a kid watching NBA on Christmas Day. They put it on, and now we all watch the five games for 15 hours, even with our family. Do you like not playing on Christmas Day? It hasn't happened yet, at least in Toronto, that you've been scheduled on the 25th.
I think I would love to play on Christmas Day. It's all NBA players. You know, we all want to go out there and play on Christmas Day, but, you know, I like to enjoy my family and friends, and, you know, it's bittersweet, but, you know, we want to play on Christmas Day because that's, you know, that's like the ultimate day for NBA players and besides the finals, but I like enjoying my kids and my family.
Kyle, thanks so much for doing this. We're glad you fit us in. Good luck, obviously, tomorrow night. It's nice to have you guys home for a little bit, and the fans have really, really had a lot of fun the last few nights, including last night's win. Thanks for this.
Totally appreciate it. Thank you, Sean, so much.